I don't know, but there are people God is raising to become mighty vessels. I just saw an anointing rest on you, this role. In the name of Jesus, I don't know where you are, but I pray may that grace now, let it rest upon you and shift you to a new dimension. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Welcome to Christocentric Message. On this channel, you are going to get soul-lifting messages, faith-based content, prayer drills, and videos that would help you grow spiritually. Remember to subscribe to the channel, like the video you are about to watch, and comment on it. Stay blessed.
Let's lift up our hands and bless Him. Father, we bless you. Lift your hands inside and outside, and let's bless the King.
I have confidence in Jesus. I have confidence in you. Anytime, any day. I have confidence in you, Savior. I have confidence in you, Jesus. I have confidence.
Every time and every day.
Every time, every day. I have confidence in you.
Jesus.
Jesus.
One more time.
I have confidence in you.
Jesus.
I have confidence in you.
Every time.
The Lamb upon the throne,
and I gladly bow. I gladly bow my knee
just to worship you forever and ever. Pray, everyone. Speak to us. Let your word come. Change our hearts. Let your word come. Able to change and transform. When the word of God comes, it can do something to you in one meeting that a lifetime will not recover from. I want you to be very intentional every time you come before His presence. My faith reaches out to you. I believe your word for me today. My faith reaches out to you. I believe your word for me today.
Sing it two more times.
My faith.
Praise the Lord for His faithfulness. We thank Him for everything He's doing in our lives as individuals and as a ministry. Listen, it is God's idea that in every territory there be apostolic and prophetic voices that coordinate the spiritual growth of a people within a territory. It is not God's desire that there be a barrenness of apostolic and prophetic voices that can build and equip people. Hallelujah. So God's system of kingdom advancement is territorial, such that in every territory there must be representatives, the way the Bible will say, the church in Ephesus, the church in Philippi, the church in Corinth. There must be a church, a body of believers, a spiritual institution
that is responsible for the upbringing and the maturing of the saints. Hallelujah. And we are glad and privileged that God has made this ministry and this platform an opportunity and an access point, a portal with which He will speak to this territory and by extension across the nations. We just returned from Abeokuta this evening. It was an awesome time. The hand of God was strong upon that place, and you cannot imagine how the teachings have set that territory on fire. We bless God for what He's done. Hallelujah. It's good to be back home. I missed some of you. Some of you, I didn't miss you at all. Praise the Lord. Tonight is a communion service, so we'll be having the communion later on, but I want to share with us something very powerful tonight. God is opening us up to the mysteries of the kingdom. Everybody say the mysteries of the kingdom. The mysteries of the kingdom represent the secret codes of operation. Please listen. When we talk of a mystery, I know that I've said it again and again, but I want you to write it down. A mystery is a secret code of operation. A mystery is a secret code of operation. It is a hidden strategy. A hidden strategy. Usually spiritual, a hidden strategy that guarantees a predictable outcome. Please make sure you're writing. A hidden strategy, usually spiritual, that guarantees a predictable outcome. One of the ways that God designed the church to rise in dominion. Listen, one of the ways that in His infinite wisdom He designed that the church will walk in dominion is to grant them access to the mysteries of the kingdom. Matthew chapter 13 verse 11 says, it has been given to you, the church, the ecclesia, it has been given to you to know. The word know there is not to be aware. It has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom. Everyone say, it has been given to me. Say it, it has been given to me to know, to understand, to comprehend the mysteries of the kingdom. Hallelujah. The same way you see a husband and a wife, please look up. A husband and a wife, and when a visitor is in their house, they have secret codes of communication. For instance, the man has a secret way he tells his wife, go and get the wine and bring for the visitor. Whereas the visitor does not know that a conversation is flying around him. It's called a mystery. There are mysteries in the kingdom that culminate into dominion. The concept of dominion and kingdom authority is not an issue of chance. It's not an issue of wish. It's not an issue of begging. It's an issue of contending to understand the mysteries, the secret codes of operation. Witchcraft, for instance, thrives on mysteries. Hallelujah. It's a mystery, brothers and sisters, when a herbalist invokes the name of a man in a calabash, right, and brings a picture of that person, whereas the man is in town doing something else, and then they pick up a knife or whatever it is and strike the picture, and then as far as they are concerned, the man is dead. Is that true? Whereas in the physical, the man is making his own plans. I should travel, I should do this and that, and he becomes an eventual victim.
of something that had been engaged. In the book of Job, the Bible tells us how that a man called Job was a great man. He loved God and he eschewed evil. And then the Bible says one day there was a meeting. Watch this. There was a meeting in the heavenlies. And Job became the subject of discussion. While that was happening, did you know that Job was not aware? He was in the earth. Only for him to be a victim of the conclusion of a meeting that has happened somewhere. And so when believers are equipped, please listen. When believers are equipped, the Bible tells us that the word of God is the sword of the spirit, a symbol of authority and a symbol of dominion. Life becomes predictable when you understand the mysteries of the kingdom. Life becomes predictable. Success becomes guaranteed. The pathway of destiny becomes predictable only when you understand the mysteries of the kingdom. Hallelujah. Let's see how we can get more people in, even if it's just to squeeze standing, please. Can we do that? Let's see how we can get. Occupy all these seats. Please take the empty seats. There's no reason why there should be people standing there. Just squeeze them as much as possible. We really apologize. This venue is already small. So let's have them do that in 1 or 2 minutes. If they can, that's all right. If they cannot, it's okay. Just squeeze around. Look for a place. Thank you, Jesus. Oh. Says that these things have been hidden from the princes of this world, so that no matter the level of a man's education, no matter the level of physical and sociological orientation, the Bible tells us that it takes the Spirit of God for a man to access the mysteries of the kingdom. Age will not reveal mysteries. Education cannot reveal mysteries. Social status cannot reveal mysteries. Orientation cannot reveal mysteries. Elihu said in chapter 32 verse 8, he says, but there is a spirit in man. There is an agency of the Holy Ghost at work in a man that can bring illumination to your spirit man and make men of understanding. It's not a scientific formula. It's not something you calculate mathematically. It's not something that you bring up like a chemical equation. It's an activity of the spirit. Mysterious, yet it can be understood. And one of the deep mysteries of the kingdom is what I want to share with us tonight. I consider what I'm about to share with us a part of the foundational mysteries that should be taught the church. That when someone gets born again and filled with the Holy Spirit, as we are teaching them the rudiments of faith and etc., this mystery I'm about to reveal to us is an ancient secret. Many people have understood that it brings blessings, but they have not been taught the dynamics of its operation. Help us tonight, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Write this word down. The blessing. The blessing. Genesis chapter 1. Verse 26, Genesis 1 verse 26. And God said, and Elohim, the Hebrew word here is Elohim, is in plural. The singular is Eloha. And Elohim said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them, watch this. This is the mandate. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and over all the cattle, the earth, and every creeping thing. Watch this. This was God's idea in the creation of man. That let us make man in such a way that every element of creation can respond to them the same way it responds to us. The cattle, the earth, the waters, the wind. Let us create them with a spiritual equipping that makes creation to respond to man in the same way he would have responded to God. And then, this was a strategy. 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created them. Read 28. The first four words. One, two, read. One more time. One more time. The Bible says, and God blessed them. I know that we've heard about blessings. To us, blessings just means to proclaim goodwill to someone or to bring in the supernatural, to partner with the person. No. The first time we see the word blessed being used in the Bible, and God, in order to fulfill that mandate of making creation respond to man, something needed to come upon man. There was an ability upon man that will make creation begin to respond to him in the exact same way he would have responded to God. And the Bible says, and God blessed. He released a dimension of the operation of the Holy Spirit upon man. And at once, watch this, the moment that anointing, that ability came upon man, at once, creation started obeying him. Please listen. The earth started obeying him. The cattle, the Bible says that he brought the animals together so that he would name them. No animal fought man. No tree produced thorns and thistles for man because there was something upon him. Please listen. Let them have dominion, not by fighting, not by trying to lobby their way, that something will come upon them that will empower them to use words, because this is a sound planet. is a planet that revolves around words. And then he says, and God blessed them. And this is what he said would happen on account of the blessing. Be fruitful. Multiply. Replenish. I give you an ability to bring things again even when they die. And then he says, subdue. And he says, have dominion. Please watch this. So we see that there was a mysterious spiritual factor in the creation of man that made plants and animals and situations and circumstances respond to him. It was not an issue of luck. It was not an issue of age. It was not an issue of gender. There was a mystery, a secret code of operation. And with it, Adam began to do mighty things. Watch this. When man fell, certain things happened. Man lost this mysterious spiritual enablement. And at once, creation started fighting man. Watch this. Creation no longer respected man again. The animals, the plants. God never cursed man. He cursed the earth. Do you know what it means? In other words, he cut that flow of obedience from the earth towards man the same way it would have happened to him. Are you getting the point now? So man would no longer speak to the earth and say produce, and then it will produce. And everything that came out of the earth and the waters began to disobey and fight man because something was lost. Man's life from that point became scientific. Man's life from that point became an issue of chance. Man's life from that point became an issue of experimentation. Man's life from that point became an issue of guessing. Every time God wanted to make creation obey man, even if it was temporarily, he, through his words, restored momentarily that very factor. That's how Noah brought all the animals to the ark. The Bible tells us that he was instructed to build an ark and that the ark would be of gopher wood. No other wood would do. So an ability came upon Noah to speak to the earth that only gopher wood will grow, sufficient to be able to build the ark. And Noah stood and called the animals and they started coming two by two, seven by seven. No rebellion. And all through the period of the flood, there was decorum in the ark because the blessing was at work. Are you getting what I'm saying? Please, I want you to pay attention because this will change your life forever. Hallelujah. This is exactly what happened to Daniel in the den of lions. When the angel appeared, the lions were not afraid of the angel. The moment something happened, it suddenly became like the Garden of Eden. And the lions calm down. No need for agitation. No need for fighting. Creation under the feet of man. Circumstances under the feet of man because of an ability that is resident within him. Now watch this. When God called Abraham, I needed to get this very easily. God called Abraham and said, Abraham, come. I am going to make you the father of nations. I am going to literally make you the landlord of the earth, and anybody who is connected to you, I'm going to do something to you, Abraham, that will make the earth obey you. I will do something to you that will make you become like the originator of this spiritual civilization. And watch this. When he told Abraham, Abraham was a weak man, an idol worshiper who lived in a place called Ur of the Chaldeans. And then he says, come out of your father's house and out of your kindred and all of that to a land that I will show you. Are you getting what I'm saying? As at the time he spoke to Abraham in chapter 12 of Genesis, he said, I will. Let's go to Genesis 12 from verse 1 and then 2. It had not yet happened in his life. He was telling him what will happen. It says, now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of your country, from your kindred and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show you. Verse 2. Read, everyone. One, two, read. Stop. Watch this. Look at what he's telling Noah. I mean, Abraham. He's saying, Abraham, I want to do all of these things to you. I will make you a nation. How will one man become a nation? Then he says, I will bless you. He says, I will make your name great. He says, you shall be a blessing. Verse 3. Read, everyone. Want to read. Watch. Stop that. Let me explain something to you. Do you know the meaning of this? In other words, for any man to be blessed, he must bless you. Listen, listen, listen. This is a deep spiritual mystery. I will make you an epitome of blessing such that men can tap into your blessing by blessing you the more. That every time they bless you, they are authorized to receive what is upon you. Are you getting what I'm sharing now? Now, and then it says, I will curse him that curse you. This is a dangerous statement. And then he says, in thee. That means the goal is not for this substance to remain on you alone. The goal is that through you, the entire creation, like I intended in the Garden of Eden, will now walk in this factor called the blessing. And they, having the blessing, will bring creation once again under subjection. Are you getting what I'm saying? Do you understand me so far? This was God's proposal. As at this time, it had not happened yet. It was a proposal he was making. Like you call a man and say, follow me. There are benefits. I will pay you 100,000 and I will give you weekends. So God was giving him his proposal. Watch this. A lot of us talk so much about Abraham and how that Abraham became great. But I want to show you something very interesting that happened to him. Chapter 14, please. Open our eyes. 14 verse 17. Genesis 14 verse 17. Please, let's hurry up. The Bible says, and watch this. This was when they went to, Abraham went to fight and recover Lot and all the things that they had stolen. It says, and the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of all that long name, and of the kings that were there with him at the valley of Shaveh, which is the king's dale. Watch this, 18. Now we see a mysterious figure. Please listen. The first time we see the appearance of this man, no history. He says, and Melchizedek, who was the king of an ancient city of peace called Salem, brought forth bread and wine. Watch this. The Bible says, and he was the priest of who? The Most High God. Let's see his encounter with Abraham. Next verse. It says, Abraham, he blessed him. Okay, let's look at 20 and then we'll come back to verse 19. So that we'll understand it in context. He said, and blessed be the Most High God, which had delivered thy enemies to your hands. And what happened? The Bible says, and he gave Abraham, gave Melchizedek, what? Tithes of all. Watch this. So this is the interaction that happened. Abraham meets this strange man called Melchizedek, and he takes the tithe, a tenth portion of the spoils, and then he gives to Melchizedek. And then Melchizedek pronounces a blessing. Let's go back to verse 19. And this is the blessing. He says, and he blessed him. Are you seeing now? The same way God blessed Adam. He says, and he blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God. How can a man bless a fellow man with this kind of blessing? He said, you will be the possessor of both the heavens and the earth. That means everything from the heavens down to the earth is your possession. This is a very strange activation. You can only bless men because such as you have, you give. Who is this strange guy called Melchizedek that can bless a man and say, from the atmosphere and the heavenlies, let everything be subject to you? And from that time, watch this. Abraham mysteriously began to be rich in cattle and land and all of that. And not only that, from him came Isaac. And not only him, he became the father, what we call the father of faith, from this one encounter. Hallelujah. Now turn with me to Genesis chapter 2. So we see that the only interaction, watch this, the only interaction between Abraham and Melchizedek is tithe. That's the only thing that brought them together. Tithe. Not a long story, not discussions, not conversations. Tithe. Genesis chapter 2. Verse 15. Genesis 2, verse 15. Arabosa secretly. And the Lord God took the man, talking about Adam now, and put him into Eden to dress it and to keep it. Verse 16. He gave him an instruction. And the Lord commanded the man. Watch this, please pay attention. It says, of every tree of the garden, you can freely eat. I give you access. In the kingdom, you don't own things. You only have access. Anytime you are an owner in the kingdom, it will bring worry. It will bring stress. The reason why high blood pressure is killing many people is because they are the owners of what they have. In the kingdom, you are only given access, not ownership. The prodigal son had access, but he wanted ownership. The moment ownership started, lack and limitation started in his life. Until he returned back to access. Are you getting blessed now? Praise the Lord. So the Bible says, of every tree you may freely eat. Next verse, please. 17. But of the tree, watch this. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat. It says, for in the day that you eat thereof, you will surely die. Now, watch the instruction. I give you every tree, but there is one that I kept in the garden. That is the tithe of that garden. And it says, do not touch it. You can access every other tree, but I put a restriction on this one. Leave it to me. He said, the moment you touch this one, you engage something in the spirit that you may not know. That will have to force you out of this place of abundance. Are you getting the point now? For as long as man honored God with the tithe and did not touch God's designated portion, we call it a portion that has been designated for God, the Bible says man kept having, paraphrasing now, abundance of supplies, and creation remained subject to him. Are you seeing that this is not just about abundance? This is about dominion. This is not just about abundance. This is about dominion. Our theology of tithing is tied to just money. Wrong. Tithe is an ancient mystery of dominion. Watch this. The Bible says your dominion is at the mercy of many mysteries, including that of the tithe. And then, watch what Satan does. He comes to man aware of God's principles, and then he makes man to touch the tithe, God's portion. As soon as that happened, man lost dominion. He went out of the Garden of Eden, the garden of the Lord, and all of that began to happen in his life. Suffering, hardship, creation no longer respected him. So when Melchizedek came to Abraham, this is what he was telling Abraham in effect. Abraham, nothing will respond to you, and that prophecy that God wants to bring to you will remain inactive. You will have to activate this operation, and the way you do it is to bring God's portion as a symbol of honor and a recognition. Watch this. The moment Abraham did that, like Adam, like Noah, creation started responding to him. We see dominion at work in Abraham's life. Are you getting blessed now? Now watch. The subject of tithing in the church has been erroneously taught, or taught in an incomplete way. We have taught tithing to be that it is the way of running away from trouble, or it is the way of bringing financial supplies to a church. And so many believers have not been taught that part of the ordinances that establish their dominion within a territory, part of the spiritual laws that make both animate and inanimate things to respond to you as though you were living in the Garden of Eden, is to bring before God the portion. Watch this. No man can bless himself. It is against the law. No man can bless himself. It is not given to you to bless yourself. The tithe. Write that word down. What is your tithe? Your tithe is a tenth portion, one tenth. Your tithe is a tenth portion, one tenth of your increase. A tenth portion of your increase required by God. Write it down. Required by God as part of the spiritual mysteries that activates the operation of the blessing upon your life. Your tithe is a tenth portion of your increase required by God that activates the operation of what the Bible calls the blessing upon your life. What exactly is this blessing? Let's talk about it in one moment. In the New Testament, we know that the blessing is a dimension of the operation of the Holy Spirit. It's a dimension of the operation of the Holy Spirit that empowers you for dominion. It works in a way that authorizes creation to respond to you. Please pay attention. This is what we call good luck. This is what we call good luck. Have you seen human beings who it looks like no matter what happens in their lives, they are always at the point of advantage? Everything seems to happen well for them. We say they are lucky, or we say they are fortunate. They are the ones men want to sow into. They are the ones people want to bless. When a situation happens like chance, the chance still lands on them. It's not a mistake. There is an operation of an ancient spiritual mystery upon their lives. Your gathering today is not just chance. It's a direct operation of an ancient spiritual mystery that will work for anybody who knows how to activate its operation. Are you getting what I'm saying now? This is very important. So the Bible says, watch this. The Bible says how that you should bring, it says, all the tithes of the land, all of the tithes in the book of Leviticus, he said it belongs to the Lord. So the tithe is not just what you give God. The tithe is his portion in everything he gives you. The tithe is God's portion, untouchable. It is not something you do when you have money. It is one of the keys to commanding creation to submit to you. Please, I want you to, please, for God's sake, pay attention. Don't miss what I'm sharing with you. You will rise out from where you are to a dimension you never dreamt of if you pay attention to what I'm sharing with you. Every door in the spirit can be opened when you have the keys. That it refused to open for you does not mean it cannot be opened. Hallelujah. Is God speaking to us now? So you see that there is a relationship between the tithe, the blessing, and dominion. Everybody say the tithe. Everybody say the blessing. Everybody say dominion. I've defined the tithe, God's portion. Let's write down the blessing. Let me talk about it a bit. What exactly is the blessing and how does it operate in the life of a man? The blessing is an operation of the Holy Spirit. If you want, you can call it an anointing. It's a dimension of the operation of God that activates dominion upon the life of a man. That activates dominion. That means the authorization to rule and reign over creation. The authorization to rule and reign over situations and circumstances. The authorization to make creation listen to you the exact same way it would have listened to the Christ. Are you seeing why the devil fights tithe? Because he knows, watch this, that there is a relationship between your tithe, there is a relationship between it and the blessing, and then there is a relationship between the blessing and your dominion. How many believers think they are doing God a favor when they tithe? Now, in ancient times, your tithe represented any increase in your value, whether cattle, whether sheep, whether land, whatever it is. But in our contemporary society today, because your money, your notes now, is the representation of the value that you have. So your tithe becomes monetary. But according to God's original design, it's not just about money. Are you seeing why it deceives a lot of people? Because we think that tithe is about money, naira now. No, tithe is about God's portion. Whatever it is that he has given you, there is a portion for himself. As a symbol, watch this, as a symbol of your acknowledgement that he is the provider. Two, as a symbol of your honor to him. Number three, as a connection to the continuity of that manifestation in your life. Let me tell you what happens when a man does not tithe. Do you know what happens when you do not tithe? The earth was caused by God. Watch this. The curse that God gave the earth is not the curse of the law. So the coming of Christ did not take away that curse. That curse, what Christ came to annul, was the curse that came with the law. The curse upon the earth is still intact. The earth there is symbolic. It does not just mean ground alone. It means creation. You cannot avert the curse that is upon creation. It's called the bondage of corruption. You can only exempt yourself. And the way you exempt yourself from its effect is tithing. Bringing back God's designated portion. That every time you are not tithing, the earth is authorized to treat you like the fallen man. This is terrible. And so you find out that all kinds of woes happen to people. It was Malachi the prophet who arranged it together to give us some level of spiritual intelligence. Before Malachi, we did not have the understanding that ABC will happen when we tithe, and ABC will not happen when we do not tithe. The curse is inevitable upon any life, any church, any organization that fails to tithe out of revelation and understanding. This is the predicament of many of us sitting down right now looking at me. It's not about lack. It's not about lack. It's about creation refusing to respond to you. Are you getting the point now? So your dominion is thwarted completely when God's portion is not returned to him. Hallelujah. Are you getting the point now? This was what Melchizedek was teaching Abraham. Abraham, forget about dominion when you are still holding God's portion. You cannot activate the operation of the blessing upon your life. And then he says this, and Abraham blessed him with all of the tithes, and then a pronouncement was made upon his life that turned around his destiny. Let's go to Malachi chapter 3, please. By me kings reign and princes decree justice. With me are riches, wealth, and honor. Yea, durable riches. Malachi, please. Chapter 3. Let's begin our reading from verse 8. And let's hear what the prophet has to tell us. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. Everyone read the first 5 words. 1, 2, read. Answer it. The answer is personal. That's what God is asking you. Will a man rob God? How does the prophet start talking about robbery now? Will a man, will a church rob God? Will an organization rob God? It's a question. And then he said, yet. Because your answer would have been no. And he says, yet ye have robbed me. So, the prophet is speaking on behalf of heaven and is talking about the issue of stealing and robbery here. It says, but ye say, wherein have we robbed you? And he said, in what? In tithes and offering. That means you have violated a principle. Next verse, as a result, read it. Watch this. He says, as a result of robbing me, as a result of keeping back the portion that activates the operation of the blessing and compels creation to hear you and respond to you, enforcing your dominion, he says, you are cursed. Not that God is saying, I curse you. He's saying, inevitably, you now become the victim of situations and circumstances because the principle of exemption has been violated. Are you getting what I'm saying now? And then he says, for you have robbed me, even this whole, a nation can rob God. A church can rob God. A business can rob God. An organization can rob God. He says, whoever you are, if you do not engage in this mystery of exemption and dominion, inevitably the curse of creation will catch up with you. It's not if, it's when it will catch up. Then it gives you a remedy. Next verse. Bring ye how many? He's telling you now, the prophet Malachi is teaching us how to get back into the mysterious secret of exemption that brings us into the blessing and brings us ultimately into dominion. He says, bring ye all the tithes into my storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not. These are the blessings now that will happen to you. Number one is what? The heavens will be open. Write it down. The first key that the prophet shows us that will happen to a man that dares to return God's portion is that you walk under an open heavens. The heavens are closed over many people. The heavens are closed over many churches. You can produce posters and handbills and do everything you know to do. When the heavens are closed, it becomes obvious to men. There are many people binding all kinds of demons, and the demons keep mocking you, because the moment you are walking in rebellion, they are authorized to find expression. They are called rulers of darkness. Their dominion is activated whenever there is darkness. Are you getting what I'm saying now? This is not about money. This is about the quality of your existence. This is about dominion. This is about activating the blessing, that anointing, that grace, that agency of the Spirit upon your life. Number two, he says, and I will pour you out a blessing. Now, this is amazing. A blessing. It says that there will not be room enough to receive it. Meaning, I will pour you a blessing that your lifetime cannot exhaust it. Your very lifetime, you will have to necessarily transfer it to your children and children's children. Watch this. This principle of tithing is the surest way to guarantee the future of your children and your children's children. Anytime you fail to tithe, you just stole from their future and robbed them. Every time you fail to tithe, you signed a covenant of poverty, a covenant with your children and children's children, authorizing creation to fight them. You will not have room enough to contain it. You will have to transfer it. So the Bible says, a good man leaveth an inheritance for his children's children. According to the order of the blessings of fatherhood and tithing, it should extend to the fourth generation. That means if you tithe, you secure your generation to the fourth. If your children tithe, they secure their generation. It's God's system of maintaining dominion upon the earth. Are you getting blessed now? How many of you are already signing poverty and signing hardship for your unborn children? This is what many of our parents did to us. And so you get up and you find out that creation fights you. Everywhere you go, everything is fighting you. You call it bad luck. Everything fights you. Everything fights you. Opportunities come and go. Nothing seems to work well. God's designated portion. Let me tell you something about the operation of demon spirits. Do you know why many people keep going through deliverance again and again and again, and it does not happen? Because it's not just by casting. We are talking of legal grounds here. Are you getting me now? When a demon comes to manipulate an entity or an individual illegally, you can cast that person just by the name of Jesus. Are you getting what I'm saying? But when you willfully authorize the operations of demons, there is no amount of prayer and fasting that will cast it away. The only key that can speak is the blood of Jesus. That is the situation that he said they overcame them. These kinds of cases, it's not just by saying go out. No, they overcame them. Why? Because when you invoke the blood, he comes as your substitute. That becomes the only remedy of him giving you a chance to start again. How many believers have disgraced and mocked themselves, running around from one deliverance house to another? My job is not working. I need promotion. Let me tell you, when creation fights you, you are a loser for life. I guarantee you. I don't care what opportunities open. I don't care what comes to you. When the creation does not submit to you, everything will work against you. Your children always become the dullest. When rain is washing houses, you are the one that it will wash your house. When anything bad is happening, I say, why is bad luck happening to me? Bad luck is not happening to you. Creation is engaging the cause that you refuse to exempt yourself out of. See, Job knew this. That was why he was so passionate about tithes and offerings, to an extent that when his children were not even doing anything wrong, he would do it in advance for them. That's how the fortune of Job was restored. It's a mystery. You would think that a man who had gone to the lowest point in his life would never be able to rise again. But by the mystery, a man called J.C. Penney, many of you know him, a Christian businessman, he began to practice tithing, and supernaturally, God started opening opportunities for him, and he rose to a point where his organization, you would call it too big to fail. And he said, look, I cannot be tithing hundreds of millions of dollars. I mean, it's too much. And he stopped. And everything nosedived. And he came back to the scratch. Let me tell you, don't play with spiritual laws. They are older than you. When you play with spiritual laws, it's like playing with fire. Whether you believe it or not, it will tear you into pieces and leave you there. There are people who have found peace with creation. It's like how elders do this. They call it appeasing the gods. So they pour small wine on the ground. They say, this is for the gods. Well, take your own and leave us in peace. And it seemed to work for them. Creation fights non-titers. Write it down. Creation fights non-titers. Creation fights non-titers. The curse of creation fights non-titers. Your spiritual exemption from the curse that is upon creation is bringing God's designated portion and bringing it with joy and bringing it with understanding. Hallelujah. The Bible says, verse 11, and I will what? Rebuke the devourer. The only place in scripture where God tells you, just calm down, I will take care of the devourer. Do you know who the devourer is? The devourer is a spirit. The devourer is a spirit. He is the one who is an envoy of the curse upon creation. The devourer causes loss. The devourer causes death. The devourer causes mishap. The devourer causes misfortunes. This is the ministry of the devourer. Whenever the curse is ready to catch up with you, the devourer comes. Mysterious accidents, mysterious failures, inexplainable setbacks, circles of misfortune. The curse of creation is catching up with a man. How many rich people are living as if they are not working? They thought the secret is promotion. Then they got a job and it has not changed. You buy a new car. Somebody just goes out to test the car and returns back with two tires because the car scattered into nonsense. The moment they pay your arrears, 5 million, you fall sick. Your wife falls sick. The children fall sick. They keep treating them. When the money finishes, they are healed by themselves. The devourer. The devourer. Are you getting what I'm saying? You enter the exam hall and then you blank out and you come out. You are conducting tutorials for others, but you yourself will not be able to excel. It's not just fasting. It's not just prayer. It's not just deliverance in terms of casting out demons. I tell you the truth. See, listen to me. You know why there are many people, before you lay hands on them, the demons fly out. They just went for retreat. As soon as one day, they just say, let's stroll out and allow this guy to just roam around and waste his time, because they know that they have been authorized. See, you cannot destroy principalities. You can only dominate them. That's why the Bible says Christ is the head. Even Christ recognizes the presence of principalities. Are you blessed, please? It says, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground. Your ground is anywhere you plant. It could be your job. It could be whatever it is that you are doing. It says, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before her time, saith the Lord of hosts. And then verse 12, the last verse says, all nations shall call you blessed. And it says, for ye shall become a delightsome land. The word delightsome is the word well favored. Is the word fortunate. Fortunate. Well favored. Right? Fortunate. So if I walk to this brother and say, brother, take 10 naira, and he collects, people say, ah, you are lucky. No, you are not lucky. And then he goes outside, and another person says, are you so-and-so? Please come. I have something for you. Say, Kai, bros, you are lucky. Oh. No, you are not lucky. You are at peace with creation. There is a mysterious supernatural anointing upon you. A church that does not tithe, I guarantee you in the name of the Lord, they will struggle. Forget about dominion, whether financially or everything. I know churches that threaten their members. If you leave my church, I will curse you. Better come and add to the numbers. And they say people come and receive miracles and go. And they move all around. They are always broke. They are always begging. Things are always not happening. Creation does not have any respect, whether it's koinonia or whatever. God himself spoke a curse. Who will revert the curse? Listen, while you are seated or standing looking at me, this is the key to supernatural exemption from the vicissitudes of life. You want to survive in the Nigeria of today? Please exempt yourself from the nonsense that is killing people. Look at how high blood pressure is destroying people because creation has refused to obey them. Money, come to me now. Say, are you joking? Does it happen just like that? It only happens. The creation will only hear your voice when God's portion is returned to him. And so there are people, watch this. There are people that get up in the morning, brothers and sisters, before evening, there are untold blessings upon their lives. People go out of their way to favor them. A lady is moving around. You may think she's not as fine, but you see all the brothers who are praying for pursuing her, and they say, we are not embarrassed. Ah, there is an ointment. Ask Esther. There is an ointment. It does not just happen. It's a distinguishing anointing. It's an ability of the spirit that causes things to... The best way I can use it, I can describe it, is fortune or good luck. Nothing just happens. There are no customers coming in my shop. I don't know. Let's paint the place green. You can paint it green, paint it red, paint it white, paint it blue. If you are a robber, creation fights you. The very soil upon which your shop is laid upon will fight you. Who is God speaking to? How many of our parents have refused to tithe? They have been working since they were 20 years. Many of them are old right now. But there is nothing about their lives that show for it. Please, let me tell you something. Pay attention to this. Don't fight the Bible. You will be a victim of it. Now watch this. How does tithing relate to the blessing in the New Testament? Besides, let me tell you something. Tithing is not an Old Testament concept. It never came with the law. When the law was fulfilled and abolished, it was never part of it. Tithing is still relevant in the New Testament. Watch this. I want to share with you a very powerful mystery on how you activate the operation of the blessing in your life. Hebrews chapter 5.
Adonai, you reign on earth.
Help me.
In your name, we will rise. Adonai, you reign on earth.
Bible in Hebrews chapter 5 begins to give us the high priestly ministry of Jesus. Watch this. Hebrews chapter 5 reveals Jesus now as our high priest. Are you getting the point now? The high priest of the church, not just the second Adam alone, not just the apostle of our faith, but the high priest. And then he starts by saying, for every high priest, verse 1, taken from among men, is ordained for men in the things pertaining to God, that they may both offer gifts and sacrifices for sin. Now go to verse 5. Go to verse 5. We read down to verse 7. It says, so also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest. Watch this. It says, but he that said unto him, thou art my son. In other words, God did not elevate himself to a position of a high priest. Jesus now, the Christ. It was God, the Father, who authorized him to function, to carry out that ministry. It says, today I have begotten you. Verse 6. As he said also in another place. Now watch this. It says, thou art what? A priest. How long? Forever. After the order of who? Remember we talked about that man Melchizedek. Right? Melchizedek was a priest of the Most High. Now the Bible says Jesus, to the New Testament believer, is a high priest. And he functions in the order of Melchizedek. What was Melchizedek's function with Abraham? He received tithe and released the blessing. That was all he did. That was everything about his priestly office. He received tithe and released the blessings. He received tithe. So Christ, in the office of Melchizedek, the moment you honor him with that designated portion, the same way Melchizedek blessed Abraham, he authorizes creation to start responding to you. The Bible says you are a priest forever. Please, are you getting what I'm saying? All that Melchizedek did, because the Bible says he is after the order, meaning his function is in the similitude of Melchizedek. We never see Melchizedek doing anything except receiving God's designated portion and then activating the blessing on the giver. Christ himself awaits standing in the throne room for obedient believers. So the moment you bring his portion, he receives it as a high priest. Although you brought it to a church, although you gave it to a man of God, you are not sowing it, you are not doing favor. It's like you are answering a register and you stand before the throne and he receives it, and then he says, possessor of the heavens and the earth. And you come out and fortunes start happening and people start working against you mysteriously but consistently. This is the mystery. Christ has become our high priest after the order of Melchizedek. So a church that tithes takes God designated portion and says, Lord, we know that in Nigeria there is struggle. People do not even honor churches. They don't honor men of God. They blackmail them. One little scandal and your ministry is dead. Lord, we do not want this devourer. This is your designated portion. And the high priest receives it and he says, koinonia, possess your territory, possess the heavens and the earth. And you were sitting in your room and something started moving you. I won't come for koinonia, but you found yourself here. It's called the blessing. It's a mysterious operation of the Holy Spirit. How many lives, watch this, how many lives are under the yoke of the bondage of corruption? Some of you seated looking at me right now, you can't wait for next week. Oh God, miracle service, my bailout. I'm giving you a key. I'm giving you a powerful key. Tithing has nothing to do with money. Tithing has everything to do with dominion. Tithing activates the operation of the blessing. So creation begins to respond to you. You may be small, you may be illiterate, but creation will respond to you. Doors will open on their own volition. Men will run over themselves to favor you. While you will get into the same challenge that somebody is getting into, a helper will come and take you out and leave the other person there, because God's portion has been given. Listen. There was a time in my life I was born again, but I was not consistent with tithing. And I can tell you, it was hell on earth. Hallelujah. When we started calling,